Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You can't say anything against any other religious group. You can't come against an ethnic group. You can't come against anything. But if you're a Christian, it's fair game. Boy, you can blast them. You could say things about Christians that you couldn't say about any other group without getting sued. And so Christians are fair game. And because of that, a lot of Christians are just afraid to say anything. And I believe that that's going to have to change. It says in May, 70 Christian leaders signed an evangelical manifesto which calls for less politicizing of the faith and knee-jerk identification with the Republican Party when Christianity is politicized. The manifesto said, faith loses its independence, the church becomes the regime at prayer, and Christians become useful idiots for one political party or another. That was not a compliment, in case you didn't figure that out. And it says here, on June the 16th, California became the second state to allow the same-sex marriages. Christian conservatives' emphasis on gay rights and, to a lesser extent, abortion to the exclusion of other issues is an important reason for the movement's decline, several churches and scholars say. And evangelicals of the older generation have become obsessed in almost a technical, psychological sense in opposing gay rights, said David Weedle, professor of religion at Colorado College. The irony, Weedle said, is that homosexuality is not a biblical theme. There are only six biblical passages that address same-sex relationships. You know, I couldn't disagree with that more. I haven't gone through and counted them, but you know what? It doesn't take too many examples of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah to make a statement. I think if that was the only statement in there, I think I'd probably get the point. It doesn't have to have 100 examples. And it says, some polls show that young born-again Christians are more tolerant of gays and lesbians. According to a 2007 Barna study, 28% of born-agains, of which evangelicals are a subset, under age 42, think it's morally acceptable to have sex with someone of the same gender, compared with 13% of older born-again. Let me just put in a little thing here that those 13% of born-agains, the older generation that think it's acceptable, I don't know that they're born again. You know, there's some things that are just so clear in Scripture. And let me just say that I preach on grace all of the time. So if anybody's listening to this and think, oh man, now Andrew's jumping on the bandwagon and he's going to begin to start condemning people, I don't condemn these people. I've got people I know that I have reached out to that are homosexuals. I've dealt with them. I am not mad at them. I don't treat these people badly. But it's wrong. It's wrong. I mean, if you looked at it even without the Bible, if you looked at it from only a secular perspective, people who are homosexuals have 2, 3, 4, 5 times the suicide rate of any other segment, any other demographic of the society. Of the deal. They have more incidences of sickness, and just on and on and on you could go. If you looked at it from a totally worldly perspective, it's a destructive, terrible lifestyle. When you add to it the Word of God, it's wrong. Does that mean that God hates you? No, God loves you. God wants to set you free, but it's wrong. And you know what? For people, for the younger born-agains or whatever that means, to look at this, and to say 43% of them or something say it's perfectly acceptable to have a homosexual relationship. You know, the only thing I can see is that that means that those of us that have been touched by the Lord, that God has intervened in our lives, somehow or another, we are not taking a stand. We aren't speaking the truth. Those kind of things ought to be opposed. It doesn't mean that you have to do it in a wrong way, in a condemning way. But we do need to stand up and we need to take a stand against things, and it needs to be opposed. And because we aren't doing it, and I'm not talking about just the leaders. There are leaders. Dobson has been taking a real obvious stand, and there are other people that have done it. But we need every individual. You know where this battle is going to be won is in your own workplace, at your job, with your friends, and with your families. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. We would love to have the guys on television stand up and let's say the truth and rally behind you. But you know what? It's really, the battle is won or lost in your home gatherings, at your workplace. We have to be the salt of the earth. And to do that, you got to get out of the salt shaker. You know, one of the attitudes of the church has been to basically retreat. It's kind of this old monastery attitude where you build a wall and you go in and you hide from the world. That's not what God called us to do. Now, I don't believe that we should have just total exposure to the world. We ought to limit our exposure from many things. But at the same time, we've got to have this preserving influence to get out there. And we've got to mix and mingle with people. And the problem has been that we have withdrawn and we say things like this in our churches. But when the discussion comes up at work, don't raise your hand on this. But when the discussion comes up at work, how many of you have an opinion? But you don't say it because you know you're going to be criticized. Somebody's going to sit there and say, man, you're condemning this person. Or you know, it's just not politically correct to take a strong moral stand. To have an absolute and to believe that something is just wrong all of the time and that there aren't any interpretations to it, I guarantee you, you're going to be criticized. And again, I refer you to the context of these verses. He was talking about persecution and saying you're blessed when people persecute you. You ought to shout and leap for joy. And yet I could guarantee you if I had people raise their hands in here, I wouldn't at all be surprised. And I believe that you guys are awesome. You're the fanatics. Amen. You came from foreign countries, from thousands of miles away. You're the cream of the crop. And I bet you that out of the cream of the crop sitting in here, there are multiple times every week that something comes up and they go to talking about some of these issues that are just out and out wrong. And Christians won't say anything because you know you're going to be criticized. You know somebody's going to jump on your case. Somebody's going to misinterpret what you've got to say. Again, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but in your heart, you need to do an inventory. You know, this is totally, I believe, against what Jesus is saying right here. We are the salt of the earth. This is the only way that God's got to get this truth out is through the body of Christ. And if we aren't releasing that salt, well then where is the world going to get salted from? How are they going to get this? The ungodly aren't going to stand up for what's right. The ungodly aren't going to stand up for the unborn and say that it's wrong to kill people in their mother's womb. The ungodly aren't going to say that. They're going to sit there and just promote what is convenient for them. And you know what? We've got to take a stand. And again, it's not just the leaders in the body of Christ. It's every single one of us standing up. And like these verses that the Lord gave me, it's time to start tearing down and saying some things boldly. Hallelujah. And you'll get criticized for it. If criticism would kill you, I'd be dead. I tell you, people have so many problems. I made a statement today. I forgot what I said, but I was watching my own television program. It was really good. And I made a joke. Oh, I was talking about coffee. Thank you. And I said, I've never tasted coffee. And I quoted Mark 16:18, where it says, you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. And I said, now don't write me. I said, it was a joke. I said, you know, get a life. Hey, man, there's some people that just go around with a chip on their shoulder. And if I make a joke about coffee, they're going to get offended. And I'll get some criticism. Somebody will write in about me criticizing or condemning people for not drinking coffee. You know, get over it. It was a joke. I said something on the TV last month or so about somebody having an afro. And I had people write in and say, you're prejudiced and you're criticizing black people. They had an afro. What do I call it? It was an afro. That's like if I talk about Ashley down here and say that, did you comb your hair that way on purpose? You know, no, his hair looks pretty good. But some of our students, they spend 30 minutes and my hair looks that way when I wake up in the morning. How do you describe a hairdo like that? I don't know what you call it, but there wasn't any prejudice in my voice. I was just telling them that the guy had an afro. Amen. It's like somebody saying he wore a blue shirt. That's what he was wearing. And yet some people are going to take offense at that. You know what? You need to get over it. And if you're going to be so offended, so worried about offending somebody, you're never going to say anything. And I can say this with conviction because I get criticized all the time, and I have the opportunity and the urge at times to quit saying things because I know that there's people that misunderstand. You know, Jesus is a great role model. Because Jesus, he, like in the 6th chapter of the book of John, he was talking about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. And they just, what are you saying? Cannibalism. Are we supposed to eat your flesh? And they were offended. And he just turned around and he says, I tell you, verily I tell you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He didn't explain himself. He made it worse. And then the disciples come to him, and when all of them, I mean, there was a whole multitude. Just minutes before, they had wanted to make him king because he had fed the multitude. And then he started telling about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And they didn't understand it. And the disciples came and says, don't you understand that they were offended? And he says, every plant that my father didn't plant will be plucked up. He says, let them blind lead the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch. He didn't even seek to explain himself. Did you know Jesus would be severely criticized today? I'm not sure that Jesus would make it 3.5 years in the United States. We'd have killed him before that. Religion is terrible. Mark chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said that you make the word of God of none effect through your traditions and doctrines of men. Before you can actually minister the truth to a person, you have to stand against some ungodly things. Some people say, but oh, I just want to be for things. I'm not against anything. You've got to be against something.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep gospel truth on this station Monday through Friday.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.